Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. Peterborough United are still unbeaten at Wembley. Posh have taken down Birmingham City, the league-winning Birmingham City, in one of the big upsets at the new Wembley Stadium. What a day. What a game. Lods is on tonight. Max is on tonight. I'm John. I'm going to go straight to Lods. We're going to talk about the game. How do you sum that up, Isaac?
Difficult, isn't it? There's no real words to describe it. I'm still not really over with the result. We're more than 24 hours past the full-time whistle, and I still can't believe we've pulled that off. And straight off the bat, I do want to just congratulate one person or give the majority of the credit to this one person anyway. And it's not actually Harley Mills. It's Darren Ferguson, because we give him enough dick at times during the season for some of the decisions he's made. And I know you in particular, John, were getting very frustrated with the negative football that he was playing, sort of Bristol Rovers away and Charlton away. But the performance that we put in yesterday, it was like the perfect balance of defensive football and attacking football. I felt entertained, but we only had 30% possession. And when all of the players play bad, I always say that's a bad reflection on the manager. So when all the players play good, which is exactly what happened yesterday, I think every single one of those players played extremely well. You have to give credit to Darren Ferguson. And I don't know what it is about him and being the underdog. He always seems to get a massive performance from his squad, no matter their ability compared to these bigger teams. He always manages to get a really good performance out of them. And speaking of being the underdog, the other thing I want to mention as well is the support that we had. We obviously were going into this not expecting a result whatsoever. And I think we're all expecting to be a little bit intimidated by the 45, 50,000 Birmingham fans. And yeah, before the start of the game, they're all singing and they were really loud. And we were all sort of looking at each other like, wow, this is big. But we were really supportive of the players, weren't we? And again, going back to some of the bad results we've had this season, there's been some real toxic atmospheres. I've mentioned it quite a lot throughout the season. And some of the real highlights of the season for me is when we really got behind the players, like Wrexham away in the semi-final, for example, where we clapped the players off at half-time despite being 2-0 down. And I think that was probably the most supportive I've ever seen us support a squad that, quite frankly, don't really deserve it. I mean, there's enough. They haven't really given us enough performances this season to warrant that kind of support. But we were celebrating everything, every tackle, every pass into the final third, every shot, even if it was off target. And actually, their goal that was ruled out, it felt like we celebrated that more than we celebrated Harley Mills' free kick, which says it all. So, yeah, I think Fergie deserves massive credit for getting that kind of performance out of all of the players, and then the fans for just being supportive, despite not expecting a win, just getting behind the players, letting them do their thing and really roaring them on.
I think before, like, I sort of give my verdict on the performance, I want to talk about Birmingham, because to me, they look flat. They look like a shadow of what people saw on Tuesday, and they seemed a little bit flat-footed compared to what we saw on Tuesday, where they never really got into first gear and they sort of just controlled the game from the off. This game, they just seemed a little bit flat, and I couldn't put my finger on why. And I spoke to one of my friends who sort of works in and around Birmingham, and he said that it was a strange performance and he couldn't quite understand it either. And I wonder if we were just underestimated by the players. And you have to look, you know, they were Crown League champions without kicking a ball this weekend. Wrexham dropped points on Saturday, which means they were league champions. They got automatic promotion on Tuesday. I just wonder if that buildup of things led to them thinking that winning just comes easily and that it had just come to them, and they weren't expecting us to put up that sort of a fight. And we did. We came out and we performed. And I thought we were unbelievable. We played them off the park in certain areas, I think. We executed the game plan perfectly. And I didn't quite get my Ricky sort of sail into the sunset goal that I was hoping for, but I did get I did get one at least, which was Hector Kyprianou. I thought that was a real captain's performance. I thought it was absolutely everywhere. I really enjoyed that performance from him. He was a leader. He controlled the game when he needed to. He was defensively great. I thought going forward, he was great. And that goal, like, pick that one out. It was unreal. And to sort of witness two wonder goals, really, and I'm sure we'll talk about Harley Mills in just a moment, but that was probably the last moment that we're going to get from our captain, and to win us the cup in that moment was unbelievable, considering the season that we've had. And this competition, as Loz just mentioned, in terms of, like, the fans and getting behind them, this competition has brought in my two probably most favourite memories of this season, and that was Wrexham away and obviously Wembley. And for me, that this top last year, and although the Harrison goal at our end, last minute winner sort of thing, was an excellent story. Going up against this level of opposition, I don't think, if we're lucky enough to go back to Wembley, I don't think we're going to face a more sort of underdog echelon that we faced today against future opposition. I thought they, obviously, the squad that they've built and manufactured, I think it's probably a mid-table championship side at best, with the money that they've spent and the way that they play. And we were massively underdogs. I don't think most posh fans even thought that a result was there to be taken. There was very few. Only the optimistic ones thought that there was a result there today. And it was almost very nervy pre-match, because it almost felt like we were walking towards our own fate, which was to lose. And that was sort of what was, from all the media and all the talk everywhere, it was just, well, Birmingham are going to do the double. And it was us to stop them from doing that double and win a trophy in probably one of the worst seasons we've had in a very long time. So I'm absolutely over the moon that we can walk away victorious. I think we probably caught Birmingham on a bad day. And that shouldn't be taken away from our performance, because I can't really tell if we caught Birmingham on a bad day or if we made Birmingham just look bad.
I think it was the latter, Max. I genuinely do think that Ferguson's game plan was absolutely perfect. We certainly weren't as progressive on the ball as we like to be or normally are, but what we did is we took advantage of them having men in our half. We attacked with pace and purpose. The first 25 minutes, Kwame Poku was absolutely unplayable, and it was just a special day. I felt so proud of that team and seeing so many of the lads from the academy that put in those performances at Wembley and just being that underdog. I thought we completely thrived off it. It was almost like it was all set up for Birmingham to win. Like, even in before the game, I was getting pissed off because they had a Birmingham DJ. Like, what's that all about? You're playing Birmingham anthems, all right, pandering to the crowd maybe, but there are two teams in this final, you know, and it felt like, I don't know who organised that, whether that was Birmingham and Posh just didn't think of it, or whether Wembley Stadium were like, get the atmosphere going, but only do it for Birmingham fans. And from that moment on, I felt like they were sank in the game. I don't know why, but it was like, nah, we are here to play a game. And I didn't really give as much of a chance, but all of a sudden it was like, I really want to win this one. And look, I have disparaged the Virtue Trophy. Wickham was good, but it wasn't, I wouldn't put it in like my top 10 Peterborough memories. That was a genuinely really special day to have 71,000 people at Wembley watching Posh, and the amount of people that were texting me like, oh, Posh has scored, and that, like Jeff Stelling saying no one cares about the Virtue Trophy. People definitely did watch that and care about it. And yeah, I'm a full-on Virtue Trophy believer now. I've been converted. That was really special. And I mean, you could single out almost every player on that pitch for a special mention, but I just want to talk Harley Mills. We might as well start with him in terms of player performances. What a fucking boy. Honestly, that is one of the most remarkable Peterborough United performances I have ever witnessed. And I know that might sound like hyperbole. I don't really care. I don't think it is. He's had like less than, what, 10 senior games. You're put up against probably the best League One side in the history of League One. I don't think that's an exaggeration either. And he didn't put a foot wrong. Tuesday night, he got beaten in the air once. At the back, when they crossed to the back stick to try and do it again, he won every header. He clattered into tackles like no tomorrow. Like his life depended on it. And the free kick, what? Like, where has that come from? And why has he not been on our set pieces all season? I mean, I don't even know what more I need him to do in a Peterborough United shirt, really. He's just become a cult hero for me. Like, what a performance. I honestly can't put that into words, what he did on the biggest stage when you've played such a little amount of football. So many people would have just wilted under the lights, I think. But Harley Mills was there just standing up. Yeah, man of the match. Took a penalty at Wrexham as well, by the way. The kid's got balls of steel. He's a future captain, I think, if he stays at the club, if we manage to keep him. And I'll tell you what, I came and argued with Charlie about signing Tyo Edden, and I really like Edden. But Harley Mills has to start next season as left back. And if that means sacrificing Edden, which it probably does, because Adebisi is probably going to be our reserve choice, I actually don't care anymore. The boy can't do any more to earn that starting position. He has performed every time we played him. And that, what he did yesterday, I very, very rarely felt more proud to watch a Peterborough United player than that. And I don't know what his family think, but bloody hell, that was unbelievable, Harley, genuinely.
Yeah, you've stole my line there, John. I was going to say about how Charlie said he doesn't want Tyo Edden to play for us ever again. After yesterday, neither do I, because if that's going to stunt Harley Mills' development with us, then he can get lost, as far as I'm concerned. I fully agree with you on the captaincy front. It's really hard to... I know he looks young, but it's really hard when he's speaking and the way he plays to think that he is only 19. I don't know if you remember when you were 19, John, but I definitely wasn't that mature. The free kick was actually really, really, like, the way Poku won it was great. He had four players around him and obviously just managed to get past all four of them and then fouled by the last man. So that was great in itself. And then obviously Poku wanted to take the free kick. And you can understand, Poku's the star man, isn't he? And this is the biggest stage. The rumours are that he's going to Birmingham. He probably wants to show him what he can do. And he said, I'm having this free kick. And I think Hector picked the ball up, didn't he? And it's hard to tell when you're that far away what the conversation is there. Is Hector giving it to Poku? Is Hector giving it to Mills? And you saw Fergie shouting over to the players and Mills ended up taking it. So we all assumed that Fergie said, no, let Mills take it to Poku. But he wasn't. He was saying to Mills, you tell Poku that you're taking it. So I like the ball's on Mills to take Poku and say, I'm taking this free kick, I fancy it. Like you said, John, the ball's on a 19-year-old like that. I think he's developed too quickly, if I'm honest with you. We've been on this train, Harley Mills train, for a while now, singing his praises. And I was calling for a breakout season next season, similar to what Burrows had. And I genuinely thought we could sell him for like 3-4, maybe even 5 million at the end of next season. I think we're going to struggle to keep him that long, if I'm honest with you. He's 19. He's just done that at Wembley. And like you say, John, I don't remember a bad game he's had for us. I know he's not played many. I think he made one mistake for a goal that I can remember. And then the red card, which was a debatable red card anyway. Apart from that, he has been a very, very consistent performer and probably a shout player of the season. If he had played a few more games for us,
I could literally spend this entire hour or however long this podcast is going to be talking about Harley Mills' performance because it was that good. But what I just want to make a comparison, because we saw Burrows, right, come in last season and do what he did at Wembley, and it was amazing. And Burrows was brilliant, and he did more at Peterborough shirt than Mills has done. But what Mills did yesterday was more remarkable than Burrows, because it took Burrows like 3 years of football to get to that level. And Mills has played like, I actually don't know how many games, but it's probably fewer than 15. I imagine it's closer to 10. And he just, honestly, just words cannot describe what he did just there. And I did want to make that comparison just because I know people are like, oh, left backs and Peterborough. And we actually had Tommy Rowe score as well in Manchester when we went up. So I don't know what it is with left backs and big games for Posh. But yeah, that surpassed Burrows for me, actually, just because of the whole circumstances and the inexperience and the opposition as well. Just lost for words about it, to be honest.
I think that's probably one of the best Peterborough United performances from a player I've ever seen. I think that's the first thing I wanted to say. I thought that, you know, I think Birmingham have lost three games all season, and they've been like attack wise, it's been a struggle to contain them. And I thought he did that excellently. We take the free kick out of it. You talk about a defensive display from a left back. I think he did everything perfectly if you take the free kick out. In fact, even if he hadn't have scored the goal and Kipriano got the winning goal, I think he'd still be in a shout for man of the match. That's how good of a performance it was. Obviously, scoring that goal the way that he did and taking the ball off Poku, as Lods just sort of like touched on then, shows a level of leadership that we need at this football club, and a level of sort of, I'm going to do it my way sort of thing. Because at the end of the day, you know, Fergie knows how good of a free kick taker he is. That's why Fergie said in an interview that he was the set piece taker before the day sort of got going, and he was the established set piece taker. And Poku being amazing and winning it, Kipriano was like, well, let's give him a moment. But Hollywood was like, no, this is mine, and scored such a beautiful free kick that will forever be a memory that I'll cherish, watching a wonder goal like that. I mean, I don't think he could have put it any more in the top corner if he tried. It was genuinely like just so perfect. It was such a perfect way to really start the game. It was unreal, absolutely unreal. And in terms of, you know, I was just talking about the defensive display there. Let's talk about the defence. We start with Jed Steer. I thought he was amazing. That point blank save that he made. Look, when we've had experiences with sold out ends, it gets a little bit tetchy. We have a track record for throwing things away on occasion. And when that ball was struck, I believe it was Jukovic that struck it. And that reaction save to keep it out the net, there was just a part of me that watched him hit it and thought, if this goes in here, we could be in for trouble. If that end just erupts, they won't shut up until the game ends, because it's game on at that point. That was such a defining moment in the game as well, to keep that out and to stop him from going 2-1. I thought Fernandez was absolutely colossal. He's been on the receiving end on some stick this season. I know, John, you tweeted about it, but he has been on the end of some negative stick, and rightfully so, I think, in certain points. And I think as a performance from a centre-back, it doesn't really get much better. The tackles that he put in, I was very, very far away from it, in fairness. But the tackles that he put in the second half before he got taken off, I couldn't believe the flexibility of his body to even get round to tackle them. I think there was one where he sort of just sprawled his body out and stopped the ball from going any further. And the man was, it must have been like a good few, you know, inches or whatever in front of him. Like he was away, and he managed to stop them from getting on the break. And I thought he was great in the air as well. For his height, you think that he is, but I think he has struggled this season to really show that height advantage. I thought he played that game perfectly today, and his partner Oscar Wallen was excellent as well. You think this season he's looked great with Hughes, but when he hasn't been playing with Hughes, he hasn't looked amazing. And I think that partnership was something that worried me, and that's why before the game I said I'd rather a sort of cool head like Kipriano play at centre back and partner Wallen, because I think it's that experienced head that Wallen needs next to him. I mean, that was probably one of the best defensive displays I'd seen from both of them. In fact, it probably was one of the better defensive performances of the season, to keep, you know, £20 million Jace Dansfield and co out from scoring. When Alfie May came on, he loves a goal against us. Like, it was just so many stories. That's what it felt like in the stands. Like, so many stories just hitting us. You know, this criticism of Jace Dansfield and not scoring a lot of open play goals for his price tag. And Alfie May, who absolutely loves to score a goal against us. And I think Jukovic has been injured, and him coming back from injury, or that might be wrong. But what I'm saying is that there were so many storylines that was just coming at us over and over and over again. And we wrote our own. And to lift the trophy was so phenomenal. But that defensive display was such a great part of it. And to go back to Steer before I go into Dornelli, I thought he killed the game so well. And I'm sure we're going to talk about the way that we killed the game. But just calming everything down really shows why Fergie really likes him and why he's the number one. Because when you put him on that sort of stage, or that's against that sort of opposition, he's so good at calming the ball down. And actually, I think notoriously, we've been quite poor at it. Game management, you know, especially in the first half of the season, we just found ways to lose games. You look at the Exeter game at home when Adun gave away that penalty, we just found a way to drop points and lose. And that was a draw, but it felt like a loss almost, because we put so much hard work in to sort of get three, and we ended up with one. And in the last minute sort of penalty giveaway, it's those sort of mistakes. There was none of that. And Jed was so level and controlling, plucked the ball out the sky, laid on it. You know, even when a chance came in, it looked like a Birmingham player went for the ball, and so did he, and he got kicked in the head. He milked it for ages and just killed the game, ran the clock down. Everybody was so, so good at doing that, but him especially. And finally, James Dornelli is what I'll sort of end on in terms of defence. I thought he had a very nervy opening game. That's not to take away from what he did, though, because I thought he kept them quiet, regardless of whether it was nervy or not. He kept them quiet. He was much better in the second half when Jay Stansfield. In fact, I think he limited Jay Stansfield completely. Apart from the goal that was offside, I don't think he was beaten once. And even then, like, Dornelli wasn't even marking Jay Stansfield at that point. So I thought he was amazing. And to have two academy graduates in Dornelli and Mills playing at their age on that stage against that Birmingham attack. I mean, come on. You can't ask for anything more. And that's what we've been about. I mean, that's exactly what we did last season. We give the academy a go and they build up and they create this sort of amazing stories for themselves. And Mills will always, people who watch that game and this club will always have that memory of that goal from Mills. And Dornelli will also always have that memory of keeping that the Birmingham attack quiet, and the same with all of that defence. So I'm really, really happy with the defensive display. And that is something that I was worried about going into the game, but killed my worries as soon as we sort of started playing in that sort of Darren Ferguson game plan.
I'll start on Dornelli as well. I thought first half he found it difficult, didn't he? And that's no slight on him. He was up against Keshi Anderson, who's quick. He's one of the best wingers in League One. Probably a championship player, and I thought he struggled, and a lot of people would have gone under, I think, especially when, and I actually think Chris Davies made a big mistake there, because he switched Keshi Anderson's position and moved Stansfield out to where Dornelli was, and I think a lot potentially that was because Dornelli had struggled, so he wanted to get his best player on Dornelli as the weak link. But what happened was Dornelli locked down Stansfield. That's a £15 million player that Dornelli has comfortably kept out. And to have the heart, the spirit, the battling qualities to go and do that at Wembley, to not be fazed, even after a difficult first half, I would think he would admit that he found it difficult at times. And then to come out and be stronger on the other side is really, really impressive, I think. I really like James Dornelli. We've said it before, but he's one of these players. Even yesterday, look, we're all talking about Mills, right? Dornelli's performance wasn't quite at the same level as Mills, certainly not as headline grabbing, but he's a steady Eddie. And again, I'm of the opinion that our two best fullbacks in the building are Dornelli and Mills at this point. I don't actually think Dornelli's ahead of Carl Johnston as well. We've touched on this. So our two fullbacks next season might well have started at Wembley. And if they can keep, you know, burning them out, well, we're probably not going to have a tougher test next season either. And the other, well, I do want to talk on Valin, because I've been very critical of him. He was excellent yesterday. And actually, he's been excellent in two of the three games against Birmingham now. He was very good at St Andrews too. And yeah, he was, if he keeps playing like that, I won't have any problems with him, because he was very aggressive, dealt with one situation. It was sort of the first 5-10 minutes potentially, where he was put under a lot of pressure, and he just about got it in front of the striker, drew a foul, relieved the pressure, and he was put under it there. And I thought, fair play, you've done really, really well there. And he continued throughout the match to have a really good performance. And then Manny Fernandez. Manny's a weird one, because I've said this before, he has all the fundamentals, certainly physically and defensively, to be a really good defender. He's just so frustrating to watch at times because he wants to sort around the pitch and look so casual. Yesterday, with a big ground around him, it was like he zoned in and went, well, yeah, I am a big lad at the back and I'm going to win my headers. I'm going to outmuscle the strikers. He did what he's good at. And it's like, he's so frustrating because you're like, you've got that ceiling. Play like that more often and you're going to... Norwich, you might as well reject him because you'll go fucking higher than Norwich. But your floor is so low at the minute that it's like, you can't... You've shown us what you can all do now, Manny. Please show that Manny Fernandez more often. It's the inconsistency with him, isn't it? And it's like, if you can get yourself up for Wembley and play like that, you've got to do it every week now, because that's the task. We can't go back to the Manny Fernandez that we've seen in League One, because you've got that ability. We've all talked about Manny's potential and there is something there. He's just very raw. But yesterday, he was just a man mountain. And I was particularly concerned when he went off and you saw Katongo warming up, because they got no service out of him whatsoever. And yeah, another academy product. I know we signed him from some non-league team somewhere, but someone that's developed mainly at Peterborough, that you can just feel so proud of, that defence. I gave him no chance of keeping a clean sheet, absolutely none at all after what I'd seen. And yet Chris Davis, their manager, said we did nothing, which I thought was really quite bitter, actually, because we did do more than the goals. We had a couple of one-on-ones with Otto and Ricky. We had Manny Fernandez coming in on the back post with a header. And in general, actually, I don't think they did anything. Yeah, the last sort of 15 minutes, they exerted some pressure on us. But other than that, I thought we kept them completely at arm's length pretty much for the whole game. And that defence, just outstanding to a man. Just fair credit to them. They've been battered this season. We all doubted them. We were all saying, who on earth do you pick at centre-back? But they came through it. They proved to us that there is ability there. And now it's just a question of raise your levels to that standard. It doesn't need to be in the National Stadium. You need to be doing that at Burton away. You need to be doing that at Crawley away. You need to be doing that everywhere now, because you've shown everyone that actually there are some good players in there and you do have that ability. Now let's do it more often.
Yeah, I think one of Manny's biggest struggles is his concentration, isn't it? He switches off a lot and he lets players in behind him, but he didn't switch off once yesterday at all. And I think the whole back line in general were just so defensively disciplined. I don't know if we were just not expecting them to attack the space behind us, but we were playing quite high, but also not playing out from the back. And I think that just really suited both Manny and Wallin, I guess. We've spoken about a lot about playing from the back and whether Sam Hughes fits our style of play. And I think if we can find this balance between the two next season, I think we're onto a winning formula. And I think Manny might have a really big season playing that role. My concern is I don't think we're going to be able to play like that against every team. I think we can play like that against the big teams like Birmingham that are expecting to attack us. But against teams that are probably going to sit back and worry about our pace a little bit, I think we're going to expect a bit more from our centre-backs. The one player from the back line that I think was probably the most defensively disciplined was Dornelli. He had the benefit of having Poku in front of him, who often doesn't need help with an overlapping run. But I could see sometimes Mothersill in particular was asking Dornelli to push up, and Dornelli was like, no, I understand my role. My role is to sit here. And it was really good defensive performance in the second half. I agree with you, John. I think he did struggle in the first half a bit. But we carried on playing that high line. And whenever a winger sort of looked like they were about to get past him, he was tracking back, he was sprinting, he was getting the ball out for a throw-in. I hope that we can keep Dornelli for a long time. I don't think we're going to keep hold of Mills. I think, like I said earlier, I think his development's just gone far too quick. But Dornelli sort of gone through the emotions a bit this season. And I hope we can keep him for a few more seasons. And I tweeted about how both them two are like the epitome of our academy and our club and what we represent. I hope that we can keep them both.
Well, let's move away from the defence a little bit and talk more about the midfield, because I thought a partnership that has come under criticism this season a lot has been Collins and Kiprianu. You know, Collins was struggling to get 90 minutes in a game at certain points of the season with Suso coming through. And Kiprianu obviously was out for 4 months and he didn't look his best before that, almost playing like he probably didn't want to be here sort of thing was the criticism that he came under. And I thought they were absolutely fantastic yesterday. And I spoke very briefly about Kiprianu, who I'm going to start with. But I spoke very briefly about Kiprianu before, earlier in the episode, and said how much of a captain's performance that was. I don't know how else I can reiterate that. I can throw all of the adjectives in the world at it, positive adjectives in the world at it, and I don't think I'd still sum up how happy I was to see that Hector Kiprianu perform on that stage for this club one final time. And I, again, similar to Mills, this cup is all about making memories. And people that say sort of, oh, nobody cares about this competition and it's a Mickey Mouse trophy, they won't understand the memories you make watching your club win silverware at any capacity. And at any level, if they just say, oh, nobody cares about it, because this competition is something that has given me some of the best memories of supporting this club. And Kiprianu's performance is another one of those memories that I'll never forget, especially that goal. I mean, again, the goal is such a captain's goal where we're on the front foot, but we've scored a goal and Birmingham are looking to get one back. Half times emerging, and who else but our club captain to put that in the top corner and settle the nerves of all the fans, knowing that we can go into half time with a 2-0 lead. I mean, that is exactly what you want from a captain, to score big goals in big moments just like that. And he delivered on that front, in the attacking front, the defensive front as well. We've been talking about the defenders and this season and Fernandes and Wallen maybe needing that level of experience. And as good as a partnership as they were, you could see Hector constantly commanding the back line a lot of the time and making sure that there was communication between him and the back line. And just everything about it was such a good captain's display. I was so happy to see that and to give us that final send-off, because I don't think even the most delusional like myself know that he is going to go in the summer. This is it for Kiprianu. He's got 4 games left now. And the season that he's had probably hasn't been to the standards that he would want it to be. But he sent it off in the best way. And that's winning a trophy. And his partner, Archie Collins, I had started on him and said, you know, he hasn't been able to get really 90 minutes this season a lot of the time because we've been playing Suso home. When he comes on, he's been excellent. But that was a vintage last season Archie Collins performance. It was everywhere. Same with Kiprianu, they both were. But the way Collins can set an attack off, basically, with a snap of his fingers, the vision that he's got from that sort of 8 role that he plays, where he sort of does that like marauding sort of run to play balls through, but can also play a ball in from deep and pick out one of the strikers or set one of the wingers off on their way. There's so many passes that he can do and execute so well that he might have struggled to do this season. He made no errors. And especially when you're playing a team like Birmingham, who we know how good they are, and I will stop raving about how good they are, but that just adds to our achievement, I feel. But when you're playing a team that know that they're going to be all over you and they're going to be physical and they're going to want to win, the last thing you want from your midfield players is to ghost. And I thought they actually had a very difficult time going through the midfield on some occasions. I think early on in the game, it was a little bit nervy. But after having Harley Mills scored that goal, I thought that we were absolutely dominant in that area of the field. And that helped us massively in terms of going forward. And it's thanks to both of those players that we can sort of thank them for that sort of dominance in that area. Because players like the midfield players for Birmingham, I thought were outshone by ours. And I've been raving all season since the start of the season when we did our episode predictions, all of that sort of stuff. I've been raving for weeks and weeks that this midfield partnership is the best in the league. And I don't think they have been this season. But yesterday, if they'd played like that from game one to game 46, how many games are in the league? Game 46, they would be, without a doubt, to everybody's eyes, the best two midfielders in this league and the best partnership as well, because I think they both complement each other really well. And I think it's disappointing that we won't see them next season play together. But to play one last time at Wembley on the biggest stage, I think is a great way to end that sort of partnership and move on, especially with Hector and his career.
Just moving forward down the pitch now, before I there's plenty of other players that I want to mention. The only, and negative's not the right term, I don't really know how to describe it, but I guess the two players that I did feel a little bit sorry for yesterday were Kean Hayes and Bradley Ivonian. Hayes, because he didn't get on the pitch at all. And I'm not saying this is the wrong decision from Fergie at all. I think he got everything right. You can't argue with that. But I did think, I just felt sorry for Hayes. He's a trier. He's been a battler. He's been one of our better performers this season. To not see him come on at Wembley, it was a little, for him, I thought, harsh. I mean, like I say, I don't think Fergie got it wrong. I'm not using that as a stick to beat Ferguson with. Please don't get me wrong. But I just felt sorry for Hayes. And I also felt a bit sorry for Brad. He was the reason we were here, really, scoring that late goal at Wembley. He gave us so many memories. To do that, it was kind of like the best moment of the season up until then. And I really think he probably cooked his goose calling in unfit on that Friday evening before whatever game it was. Since then, he's not had a look in the squad, and it's hard to draw any conclusion but to think that Fergie was very pissed off with that. But it's a tough learning lesson for the lad, isn't it, not to be on the bench at Wembley for what would have been probably the biggest game of both their careers. So I did just want to say I just felt a little bit sorry for them before we start talking about the other players that were on the pitch.
I was actually really upset pre-match when I saw the lineup and Ihonvien wasn't on it. In fact, I was outright fuming when I read the lineup and saw that he wasn't there. And I don't want to be negative on the day, but I think we're here thanks to him. That last minute winner at Wrexham, that goal. And then he stepped up and he scored a penalty against Wrexham. I mean, to then not have him play at Wembley, or at least be on the bench at Wembley, regardless of what's happened between him and Ferguson. I don't know what it is, but there's clearly something I thought was so upsetting for the lad. And look, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, and maybe there's a genuine sort of issue that has emerged between the two. But I thought it was absolutely gutting that he wasn't allowed to play and he wasn't on the bench, because I don't think we'd be here without him. And look, you could say if the ball fell to anybody, they could have scored. I think that's a really harsh way to look at it. He had that moment at Wrexham. He got us to Wembley. To not be given the opportunity to play, especially in those last minutes. God, I would have loved, when 11 minutes hit that board, he'd be the one person I would want on the pitch. He would have held it up much better than Gustav would have. He could have taken it to the corner and killed more of the clock, because we know how physical he can be. And I think in terms of a time management perspective, I think we would have been even more comfortable with him on the pitch when that 11 minutes hit the board. I really do. And given him the chance to help the team win at Wembley. That chance was taken from him. And again, I want to reiterate that we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with him and Ferguson. And if there is a serious problem and Bradley is the one that's sort of causing that problem, then look, the manager's got to do what the manager's got to do. But from a fan's point of view, I agree with you, John. I did feel really, really sorry for him. And I feel like that opportunity was taken from him, especially with the hard work that he did at Wrexham to get us here.
I don't think something seriously needs to go wrong between them two for him to not make the squad. You've got to think, with everyone fit at the moment, there was always going to be a couple of players that missed out. And I mean, who from that bench would you have dropped to keep Brad in? We obviously do know one issue he had, which was the way he got subbed off at... Oh, blimey, I can't remember which game it was. Cambridge. When he got subbed off at Cambridge, he obviously reacted quite poorly to that. If Fergie's a strict manager, right? If you do something wrong, he is strict. And what bigger punishment to make if someone is acting unprofessional to not allow them to be in the squad at Wembley? So as much as, yeah, we were there because of Brad, I don't think that's enough to warrant someone else missing out on a space. take Chris Conn-Clarke, for example. I don't think Chris Conn-Clarke's done a lot wrong. He's worked hard to get to where he is and keep up with the levels. And he's missed out on all of the squads previously. If Fergie's chosen him over Brad because Brad's been a bit more unprofessional with him outside of football, then I'm fully behind Fergie on that.
Well, I guess we might as well talk back to matters on the pitch. And there was a couple of performances which I wanted to single out, one of which was Poku, who for the first half hour of that game, I think I mentioned it earlier, he was genuinely brilliant. Very good on Tuesday night against Birmingham. I said he looked levels above sort of everybody else in a Posh shirt. And I think on any other day, he would have been my man of the match if Harley Mills wasn't on the pitch. They just could not deal with him. The amount of times he beat three or four of their men just went on a mazy run. He released, his passing was good as well. Like he released that Otto chance where Otto kind of, he messed it up a little bit and went too wide with his first touch. But I just thought Poku was electric. And that's against, like I say, one of the best teams in the league. He was dominating that game from sort of like minute one. You know them attackers that get the ball and they demand the ball. They get on it and then they're just doing stuff themselves. And it felt to me like normally the orchestrator of the team sort of plays in a deep lying role and sprays passes. You think like a Fabregas, for instance, or a Xavi Alonso. Poku was that for us. I felt like everything was just going through him. And I think he set the tone for that, the whole performance. I think he gave everyone belief because of the way he started that game. He just really stepped up for me and stepped up to the mantle of being our star man. And we talk about the best player in League One. And I've seen Stansfield twice now. And I've seen Stansfield more than twice, but I've seen Stansfield twice in the last week. And you compare what Poku did to what Stansfield did in both the games. And honestly, for me, Poku looked a miles better player than Jay Stansfield. And that's, I think Jay Stansfield's a very, very good player before any Birmingham fans get angry. I think he receives a lot of criticism for his price tag when actually he is a very good player, despite the amount of money that they spent on him. But Poku's on-the-ball ability was honestly sublime. I thought it was a brilliant performance to watch. And the other one, we talked about Brad, and there was a few of us, I don't think I did, but I think there was a couple of us who sort of said we'd start Brad at Wembley. I think Ricky proved why he started. I thought, look, the chance which in the second half where he got in behind and he was fouled. He was actually a little bit too honest there. I think if he goes down a bit like he did at Reading, you'd like to think he gets the penalty. But because he tried to like scramble a shot away, the ref kind of got away with, and I thought the ref was actually quite decent, but he kind of got away with being able to say, okay, the advantage was played. You didn't score the chance. But he ran them ragged. And that were two really good centre halves for Birmingham. They're two massive players. And not just that, his link play is, I think his link play, and I've thought this a couple of times recently, I think it's starting to get a bit better. It's one of the real issues with Ricky is his sort of like back to goal play. But actually, since Malik sort of moved into that 10 role, I do think Ricky's been still not perfect at it, don't get me wrong, but he's been better. And his pace just scares the shit out of teams. And when they're chasing a game at 2-0, he's so valuable. I mean, he might not sign a contract. And you look at Ricky sometimes and you think you're so technically limited. How on earth do you think you're ever going to play above League One? But for me, I think a championship club will take a risk on him, not necessarily as a starter, but as an impact sub. When the games are stretched and when you're leading, he is such an asset because as soon as gaps start opening up, he literally just runs in. He's like a road runner. And yeah, the end product needs some work at times. And yeah, he can be a bit frustrating when he misses chances and opportunities. But he's such a unique skill set to have that level of pace and just relentlessness. He is relentless in terms of his running and just, yeah, I thought he was great yesterday. I thought he caused them a lot of issues, and him having that pace in behind meant that they couldn't commit so many men forward as I think they wanted to at times. And I think he was a big part in that victory, even though he didn't score, which I would have loved to have seen happen. I thought Ricky really deserved a lot of credit for his performance yesterday.
I don't think I can put into words, John, how much I wish he'd scored. And I really wish he'd gone down rather than shooting, because that penalty to me was stonewall. And I think he would have taken it and got that moment. I was absolutely gutted for him. I was screaming from the stands because I really think that was a stonewall. And regardless of whether he took the shot or not, puts us 3-0 up. Game's basically done at that point, and it'd be him that scored that. And I'd get that sort of snake in the corner moment, which is what I was hoping to see. I think he's going to be the one player that's going to, for a while now, I think player sales, they've come and gone, but I've never really been left properly devastated. Harrison Burrows was one that upset me, but I just have this sort of a connection with Ricky, and I love him. I think he's brilliant. I remember watching him at least 3 or 4 years back at QPR, where he scored. We're at home in the FA Cup, I think he scored against QPR. He ran them ragged as well, and he was a lot younger than he is now. And watching him at Wembley yesterday, he absolutely tore them apart, really. And that was it. He absolutely caught them in two minds, because they knew they couldn't commit many bodies forward, which actually stunted their attack, because they couldn't get many bodies up the pitch to stretch as much as they want to. The wingers played wide, but usually when you play wide, the midfielders would come and make the inside runs. They couldn't do that because they knew if they got caught, he'll be one-on-one as soon as they get caught, because we'll play a long ball and it'll be him that's bearing down on goal. And his pace, there isn't a centre-back in this league that'll catch him. So I think I am going to be really devastated when he goes. He will go in the summer. I think Dan Ferguson's confirmed that Kiprianu Poku and Ricky are going on CBS. He said that we've offered them new deals. They're not signing them. And he's going to be the one player that's going to be absolutely gut-wrenching for me to watch leave, because I think we've got a real, real talent there in Ricky. And we've seen that pace and that drive and that press. It's been relentless for many years, really. It's been absolutely relentless. Last season especially, this season, it's just been a really poor season in terms of just everything. Attacking fluidity, defensive fluidity, just everything's just not felt perfect. But when he's on it, man, is he on it. And I wish I had that snake moment. I wish I had that goal. But I got two absolutely wonder goals. You can't be greedy, is the main thing. Is you cannot be greedy, because we've experienced two of the best goals I've ever seen live at Wembley. In the capital, there's not much more I could have asked for. But if we'd won that penalty and scored that penalty, it would have topped like the cherry on the cake, really. Well, the cherry on top of the cherry, because winning the cup was that. But I'm going to be gutted to see him leave in the summer. He's probably one of my favourite players, and there's reason for that. Just something about him I just love watching, and I really think it's that raw pace and that. Teams don't actually know how quick he is until they come up against him. And Birmingham saw that yesterday, was that, man, did he catch them in two minds a lot of the time.
We've been recording for almost an hour now, and it would seem completely unfair if I don't at least give Malik Mothersill 20 seconds of credit, because I'm going to say it. I think that's probably the best performance from a number 10 I've seen any of our players play in such a long time. Which is just mad, because at the start of the season, he wasn't even a 10. I don't think he'd ever even played there. The passes he was making forward to Ricky and Odo were absolutely spot on. He is so crucial in this counter-attacking football that we're playing at the moment. And I really, really, really hope we keep on to him for next season. I haven't really seen many teams interested in him, which is a surprise given how versatile he's been this season. But if you compare his performance yesterday to what Joel Randall was doing at the beginning of the season, and look, I love Joel Randall. I could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to make passes forward. They weren't always coming off. But Malik seems to be doing that, and they're coming off, and he can run, and he can shoot, which is all things that Randall wasn't doing. And actually, if you watch Malik off the ball, he's putting a shift in defensively as well. He's getting back. He's offering short passes from the back four. I can't believe we've changed his position twice now. We moved him from striker to winger and now to number 10. And he just seems to be getting better. And that's what you wanted in this project, albeit we wanted him to be the number 9 that bags 30 goals a season. But I think we've got something better, given how versatile he is. And yeah, I really, really think he's going to be key next season as well if we carry on playing this counter-attacking football.
Yeah, I love Malik, man. Welcome to the fan club, lads. I've just been, player of the season. Just give him it now. Give him the trophy. I just think he's great. And I also, I enjoyed the Randall slander. I mean, that Bolton, the Bolton reserve. What a way to finish Wembley by talking about Joel Randall, eh? A special day, and I'm always open to some Joel Randall slander. Anyway, we could sit here and talk literally probably for another 2 hours on that game. It was just such a special day for the club. Just thank you, Posh. Thank you if you're a part of it, management staff, players. Those days are the reason that all of us travel up and down the country to watch these games, dedicate our Saturdays this season, dedicate our evenings doing this podcast. We all deeply love this football club. And those days are the payoffs, right? Those are the days where I'm sure in 40 years' time we'll be talking about, if I'm still around, we'll be talking about how Arlie Mills and Hector Kyprianou scored two weldies at Wembley. Do you remember that game where we took on the mighty Birmingham and took them down and actually now have a better record than Barcelona at Wembley? So there you go. There's a bit of Peterborough United folklore. Let's petition to make that our home ground like Tottenham did, and maybe we might go up. But yeah, final word in it from me. Thank you to everyone involved at Posh. We've got to move on. We've got another game coming up, lads. We've got a game Friday. It feels a bit after the Lord Mayor's show now, doesn't it, really? I don't think we're going to spend a load of time previewing this one. But we're playing Stockport, a team that are right up there, and we still are not mathematically safe. I don't think any of us are that concerned at relegation at the minute. But if we do lose and a couple of teams win, Bristol Rovers and Burton, you know, all of a sudden we're back in the season. So what are we doing for this game, lads? Do you want to make any changes? Are you keeping the team the same? Is everyone going to be drunk from celebrations? I don't know. Max, what are you doing for this team?
First of all, I'd like to submit sort of just something to the EFL asking if we can end the season now. I just don't want to watch us play football again until next season. I'm happy to end my season on that sort of high. I don't want to watch it again. But Stockport is going to be a huge game. And also, I think it could probably be a bit of a confidence builder, you know, like Charlton at home sort of was, where we've got a real opportunity to go and get a result against a side up there fighting for automatic promotion. I mean, it's not mathematically impossible for them not to get automatics. Really, they've confirmed a spot in the playoffs, really, unless a drastic fall off happens. So this is going to be a big game sort of on the pitch. I think with the fans, you're right, John. Obviously, there is, until that big mathematical green light hits the sky, I'm always going to be concerned, especially losing both to Cobblers and Birmingham on Saturday, Tuesday. To go into this game on Good Friday is a little bit of a worry. It's probably not the run of fixtures I'd want at the end. I didn't realise it'd be so tetchy this sort of close to the end. And Stockport aside, when we went there, we saw what they could do. I think it was a little bit of the Louis Barry show, if I remember correctly, when we went there last time. We went there earlier in the year. And it looks like even losing Louis Barry, they haven't fallen off. They've been putting good results together. I think they've won their last four. So it's going to be a difficult game, 100%. For me, now, unless we have any desire to sign Hughes and Eden and Johnston, I'd like to develop our own players. And I think that starting 11 at the start at Wembley could start. I think Fernandez, Wallin, Dornelli and Mills could start. I have preached the choir that if we're not mathematically safe, we should start our best players. But after that performance, I don't see why they can't play in a back four again, back along the road. I don't see why they can't do that. And maybe with some new added confidence. So in fact, I keep the lineup the same. I wouldn't change a thing. I put Bradley on the bench is what I would do. Because I'm a massive fan of him. And I think he's such an asset in terms of seeing games out and not finding a way to lose. Because you never know, like we could score a goal And in the 80th minute, we need someone with massive power to come on and hold the ball up. And Gustav's not that person. I haven't seen that from him. So I really would like Iombian to be on the bench, at least, if not start. But for me, I keep the lineup unchanged. I'd go with that Wembley team. In fact, I'd probably go with that Wembley team to the end of the season and let them develop for the last four games and ultimately keep the club up. Because again, until that mathematical green light hits the sky, we're not safe. So let those players build those confidence and hopefully make some more memories. But if I could end the season now, I would. Is the sort of prediction I want to give, is that if I could end the season now, I would.
I'm with you, Max, in the sense that we should just be focusing on next season now. I can't see us getting relegated at all. I think there's a big enough gap there. But I think this game against Stockport is an exception. I think we almost look at that as a free hit. Stockport have got a chance of finishing second still. I don't think we're expecting to beat them if you look at the table and look what we're both fighting for. And I actually think the squad that we will likely play next season would benefit more from a couple of extra days off to maybe get over their hangovers for a start. But just in general, team bonding, I think it's been really tough for them this season and they've got through it. The players that are still here have got through it. And I think we're now at the stage where we probably should reward them a little bit. They've just gone and beat the best team that League One's ever seen at Wembley. Let's just give them a full rotation. Let's play Bielo. Let's play Gustav. Let's play Chris Conn-Clark. Let's play Ryan de Havilland. Let's play some of these players that haven't quite made the squad in the last few weeks. Get them to prove that they're worth a spot in next season's squad. And then we'll fight for some more points on Easter Monday.
I'm fully with you, lads. I think I would be ringing quite a few changes here. I would definitely start Lindgren. We need to see what he can do. And realistically, I think probably the Monday fixture looks slightly easier than the Stockport game anyway, given the exertions at Wembley, given probably that they've been out celebrating. We don't know this, but I would hasten a guess they might have had a few beers last night. Preparation's not going to be great for this game. Just let him have a bit of a break. I'd like to see Conn Clark start. I'd like to see Kieran Hayes start. These sort of players that, and maybe even de Havilland, that are kind of, you feel like they're, I wouldn't put necessarily Hayes in this bracket, but they're playing for their futures, either in terms of staying at the club in someone like de Havilland, and maybe even Conn Clark, you could say that for, or someone like Lindgren and Hayes in terms of their futures as starters or as bench players next season, as rotational players. So I'd like to see them sort of players given a game. The defence is going to be a tough one because Sam Hughes isn't around. So I almost feel like I would probably start the same defensive line as I would at Wembley and sort of rotate maybe in more forward areas. I'm not opposed to someone like Kyle Johnston coming in for Dornelli, I guess, depending on the conditioning of Dornelli. But yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it. I'm not ultimately too fussed about this one. Stockport are a good team. Any points we get here are pretty much a bonus. We can then assess the situation. And if things are too drastic, I think we probably need one more win to stay up. And you'd like to think, even if we lose this one, one of the last four games should be winnable. So yeah, fingers crossed. Anyway, I'm not going to spend too much longer discussing this one. Let's go to the predictions. I'm going to start with you, Max. Who do you think will score and first scorer?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit cagey. I think Stockport are going to come to win. I think we're going to come to sort of just try and eke a result out of it. I don't see it being very entertaining. I'm going to go 0-0. Hopefully I'm proved wrong. Hopefully we can get a win. But after that Wembley performance, I can't predict a loss and I don't think we're going to win. So I'm just going to predict a 0-0 snooze fest.
Well, I said we were going to lose at Wembley and I'm going to say we're going to lose again. Hopefully I'm wrong for the second time in a few days. I think we'll probably lose 2-3-0, if I'm honest. I just think in terms of Stockport got a lot to play for. We do not have a great deal to play for, certainly at the minute. I think there may well be, it's going to be hard for them to motivate themselves. All of a sudden, you've got the joy of Wembley and it's easy to say they should just turn it on again, but I think it's going to be difficult for them to do that. And I, do you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm not that fast. So I'm going to say that Stockport will win, and I think they'll win fairly comfortably. But if we put in a performance like we did at Wembley, and they want to ride that crest of a wave and the momentum of that win, we might be able to pick up a result. But it's a difficult game for sure.
I think if we play the same team that we played at Wembley, I think we'll lose 3-1. But I think if we do a full rotation, I can see them snatching a 2-2 draw. So I'm going to go for the 3-1 loss, because I think Fergie probably will play a similar team as to what he played at Wembley. But I can see if De Havilland's played well the last few games he's played. I think Chris Conclark's got a point to prove. If these players play, I think they could probably get a result. I just don't think they will play, unfortunately.
That's that then. Everything rounded up Peterborough United. Before we go, I would love if you want to tell us if there's any performances that you've seen in a Peterborough shirt that you rate better than Harley Mills, get in the comments and say, you know, I think this performance was better than Harley Mills at Wembley. Because I am actually struggling to think of a better man of the match performance. So maybe this is recency bias, I don't know. But we'd love to hear from you. Either stick them in the comments on YouTube or tweet us, which is Up the Poshcast. And also, if you can subscribe on YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, it really does help us. We love to see the numbers going up on there. So please do so. We will be back after the Stockport game, where we hope to be recording another win and hopefully more positivity. All that's left to say is, if you've never lost at Wembley, clap your hands. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss, or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
Ronnie versus Sheffield Wednesday in the first leg of the playoffs.
Poku against Cambridge at home.
George Boyd against Accrington Stanley.
All right.